From the PSIA ASI studios in Lakewood, Colorado, I'm George Thomas. You're listening to First Chair, and today we're visiting with PSIA ASI CEO. Wow, that was a lot of initials there, Nick.
A lot of acronyms there.
Okay, yeah. Nick Herron. And we're going to be talking about a few things. I kind of want to start out with a vision statement for PSIA, but also want to get into some history.
Yeah, that'd be great, George.
So, vision statement. You know, it's funny when you start a business or start a new endeavor and you're supposed to come up with a vision statement, it's hard to compile your thoughts into one sentence. How did you do it?
Yeah, 8 words or however many it is. It's, you know, this was an exciting process that really started last October, November, when we had our summit that all the presidents, all the executive directors, as well as our national board came together. And we kind of came together with the idea of, you know, the leaders, the volunteer leaders and the leaders of this organization, we need to come together and talk about what are we going to be for the next 10, 20 years? What direction do we want to head? How are we going to support our members, the snow sports industry, and what is our relevance? And it was exciting because as we talked through that, we started to realize some of the divisions took on the national vision statement that was created back in the early 2000s, but other divisions might have cut and pasted it or was using it a little bit differently. And we saw inconsistencies as our brand, as our unity, and our collaboration. So one of the big things that came out of that summit was the President's Council, and they did an amazing job of this. They came together and they worked for 2 or 3 months on coming together with this vision statement, which the vision statement is creating lifelong adventures through education. And it's short and sweet. And the biggest thing that I stay focused on that is adventures through education. That is our priority. That's our goal. It's what we want to deliver to our members. It's what we want to deliver to the snow sports industry. We want people to be excited. And whether you're cross-country skiing, snowboarding, or alpine skiing, whatever sport you're doing, we want to create this lifelong memory through adventure and make them excited about it.
Which is so good, but how do we get that out to the public as well? Because I don't know that it's an image that possibly used to be there, but it's like ski school. That's going to be boring. And yeah. It's not.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are perceptions we have to get past. One of the biggest things is how many times have you taught a lesson that people say, oh my gosh, I wish I did this a lot earlier, or why I didn't think this is what it's all about. I didn't know it was a guided experience. I didn't know it was this adventure. I didn't know that I was going to be able, you know, what is the biggest goal? By taking a lesson or a guided experience, the whole goal is to get further out on the mountain. We're trying to get guests out to explore more of the mountain because the beginner area is a very, very small percentage of that mountain. And so the more we get people engaged, the more we get people to realize how much fun it is to enhance their technical and their ability to ski out on the hill, the more fun they're going to have and probably stick in the sport for a longer period of time.
Now, one of the things you said when we were first starting to chat was you were talking about the future and where we're going. Mm-hmm. What about where we've been? That had to also be a big part of this.
Oh, yeah. Well, and actually, I should circle back just with the President's Council. One of the biggest things, once they came up with this vision statement, they took it back to their divisions. And every divisional board, all 9 divisions, as well as the national board, all approved this vision statement. And that is a huge, again, it's not just about the final outcome of our vision, creating lifelong adventures through education. It's also the process. And as you know, through education, we're process heavy. It's all about what we do. It's all about learning. It's all about the process. It might not be the outcome, but the outcome is always going to be positive if we go through the right process. And the President's Council committed to getting an approval from every division. And if every division wasn't going to sign on to this transition, well, then that probably shouldn't be our brand. You know, coming out of the summit was we wanted to focus on collaboration, consolidation, and we wanted to make sure that through this image and through this voice, this vision statement, we were all speaking on one voice. And that was really exciting that everyone got on board across the entire country. And I really commend every divisional board and the national board for going through the process, and especially the President's Council for leading this. They did a great job.
So. It's actually really exciting that you got all 9 divisions on and unity.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows the direction we're going. It shows our leadership. we need to be seen as, you know, to the resorts, to our members. I always say the country continues to get smaller with social media, with people being able to travel more and visit other divisions. We need to be delivering the exact same consistency across the country. And everyone is really, whether it's the volunteer leadership, whether it's our educational leadership, all facets of our organization right now is committed to making a better product for our members. So that's exciting. And I would say, talking about the history, that's a different approach. You know, everyone is committed to making sure we truly understand who we are as PSIA AASI.
So to get some of that understanding, you actually sat down with Bill Lash and had a great conversation with him, it sounds like, and got some good stories about the history of PSIA. Can you share some of those with us?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's one of the more fun part of my job these last couple months has been getting to know our leadership in the last 50, 55 years. I'm really enjoying reconnecting with people who have really built PSIA AASI to what it is today. And Bill Lash, he lives up in Seattle. So of course, you know, my family's there. So most of our vacations are visiting grandparents right now. So I've been able to have coffee with him for two mornings. He's 89 now. As everyone knows, he was our first president of PSIA AASI didn't exist back in 1961, but PSIA. And it's just awesome spending, you know, the last time I got to spend about an hour and a half with him. And he just dove into these stories about how the first board met and how the individuals who created PSIA got together. And he was telling me this story. You know, I'm a history major, so I love this stuff. He's telling me this story about how him and Jimmy Johnson met. You know, Jimmy Johnson was a lawyer out of Minnesota. And he came out to Alta and he wanted to take a lesson. And everybody said, oh, you got to take a lesson with Bill Lash. He's the guy. If you want to know ski instruction, he's the guy to give you some great cues, some great understanding of where instruction in the U.S. is going. And this was in 1956. So Jimmy Johnson showed up. Jimmy Johnson, if you've seen a picture of him, he's not a small boy. He's a pretty big boy. And Bill Lash was actually quite the opposite. So Bill always said, he keeps saying, you know, one of my core beliefs is keeping it simple and making sure you have fun. And I love that he says that because that has been a focus for over 50 years now. And he just had Jimmy follow him around Alta. It was a powder day, 2 feet of powder. And he kind of looked at me and he goes, boy, I can't tell you how scared I was having that big of a man follow me around. And it just was such a great image. But they became friends, and in the end, you know, Jimmy actually invited Bill Lash out to the Midwest to give some clinics on final form in 1958. That's how they kind of connected, and they told me about this story. I mean, just a great example of adventure. Bill Lash flew into Minnesota, and the clinic was in Boeing Highlands, I think, Boeing, Michigan. And so Jimmy pulls up in his car in 1958 and he says, hey, we are going to go to, we're going to drive. We're not going to fly. And so they drove through the night. They got in the car at 8 or 9 at night and they drove 650 miles, 640 miles, whatever it was, to Boeing, Michigan, showed up at 7 in the morning, were on skis at 9 o'clock in the morning. And they just went at it, started working on final form. And I was like, oh my gosh. And he was telling this story about dodging animals and weather and no sleep. And how many clinicians, examiners, people taking exams. I mean, this is a perfect story. Nothing has changed. People are this committed to this sport and this organization that it's still going on today. People work through a whole day. You know, maybe they're in Crested Butte and then they drive through the night to go take an exam at Steamboat or whatnot. And it was just so great to hear the story of how committed people were. And this was on Bill Lash's time off. He flew out there just for a weekend. You know, he worked for actually a rubber seal company for pipes. And he said that actually is what held up PSIA for 10 years. Because whenever I had to travel and do sales, he'd always tack on 2 or 3 days to meet with Jimmy Johnson or meet with someone on the East Coast. And I mean, he just had these incredible stories that were really neat. So
how was PSIA formed back then? Were there different divisions? Was it one unit?
Well, I'll probably get some of this wrong because I'm still learning. And, okay. And you know, I encourage you to get the book that Pete Cray wrote, because it's very good. It has a lot of this, but essentially, there was no unifying organization across the country. In 1958 is when they started having, I wouldn't call them academies. Back then they called them, I'm spacing what they're called. I'm embarrassed. But they were having these conventions where ski instructors from across the country were starting to come together. And a couple divisions were starting to form. They weren't officially called PSIA, but the Northwest was forming, Rocky was forming, Western was forming. And the leaders of each organization across the country that was creating these, they were coming together. The first one was in Alta in 1958. And they started talking about, we need to start creating the American teaching system. And that's where PSIA started to create and develop, where every year a resort would bid out this academy that they had. And it just happens in 1961. I actually asked them this specifically. I was like, why was it Whitefish? I thought there would be some big historical reason it was Whitefish. And Bill looked at me and he was like, oh, very simply, it was the best offer and the most affordable for everyone to get together. And I was like, oh, okay. So nothing's changed. That's kind of how we do things for events now, right? Yeah. So that was kind of funny. But that's really why it was incorporated, you know, PSIA in 1961 at Whitefish. Was that was the spring convention of bringing all the educators together, and they started doing that in 58, and then it really started to get more formalized as PSIA was created.
What was our major influence at the beginning? Swiss, Austrian, French?
I do not think I'm the one that should probably be answering that question. I should probably learn more about that, but you know, it's funny.
I'm a history major so.
But it's great that you bring this up, because he was telling me one of his best friends, I'm spacing who it was. I think it was Doug Pfeiffer and him actually would always get in an argument that they needed to work on direct to parallel. And we're talking 50 years ago. Exact same conversations right. Are going on now, right? And it was so great because there was different progressions in the beginner, and everybody was really trying to figure out what direction do we need to go. And it was so great because they said that they met back in the 70s. They got back together. And one of the things that Bill said was Doug and him got together and they finally admitted, you know what? All of the ways in which we deliver these, whether it's direct to parallel, whether it's a wedge turn, the beginner zone, however we teach to people, it really needs to fit the guest and the instructor and the terrain. And so all of the exact same conversations we're having right now, we're happening, you know, we're still tackling them. And with the technology improvements through skis and snowboards, through everything that has made skiing what it is today or snowboarding what it is today, we still have those root challenges, which we're committed to doing, is how can we create a better experience introduction into the snow sport? And it was so cool to hear, you know, back then, you know, Bill and Doug were still having the conversation that me and a couple of my buddies on the national team still have, right? And it's how do we deliver that? Well, it totally depends on the environment we're in, the individuals that we're teaching. Is it a private? Is it a group lesson? That's why we have to understand the evaluation of how we set up a lesson. It is totally dependent on the environment and the type of lesson you're teaching. So
now that kind of brings me back to the vision statement, but I think back when I first learned to ski in the 70s, you know, it almost seemed like ski schools would really promote that the ski school director was from Switzerland or from Austria, another country. And it's been fun being able to interview people like Jonathan Ballou and others who are so influential now in bringing PSIA to other countries.
Yeah.
And so kind of is the whole making learning fun, terrain-based teaching, all of that, is that central to America? Is that PSIA or is that really global?
Oh, I think it's really important to us, but I think it's definitely getting bigger on a global level. I mean,
did it start with PSIA though?
No. Well, I mean, you talk to some people and let's be honest, train based, that's what we do, right? We've been doing that for many, many years. However, there's been phenomenal companies like Snow Operation who's come along who work with resorts to create a better beginner terrain area. And one of the things that I say about them is they're one of our greatest partners because they create a fun and exciting environment and safe environment for us to deliver our methods. And so we want to partner with anyone who is going to help challenge different ways in which we can deliver teaching methods. You know, the whole idea is how can we get more people introduced to the sport in a safe and fun experience? Because if they don't have a good time the first time, they're not going to come back. And we have to be committed from the educational arm of the industry to help support that. At the same time, we're challenged to not just focus on the beginner area. We're challenged to focus on all levels. We want to challenge ourselves. And that's one of the reasons why I love having people like Jonathan and people on the team travel internationally, because it's challenging them and it's challenging their personal understanding that they're able to come back and go, wow, I would have never seen that if I just stayed at Aspen or if I only stayed at Killington and taught there. They're expanding the way in which they view teaching. They might see a different learning area set up, or they might see a different way in which people are leading clinics, and it helps challenge them to formulate what we're going to deliver or improve in our organization.
So creating lifelong adventures through education, PSIA AASI's vision statement. Should that be the individual instructor's vision statement?
Well, some people might not like adventure. I love adventure. But, you know, that's kind of, you know, out in the outdoor mountain environment, we want to explore. We want to make people excited to do what we do. And I would hope that people want to create that for themselves. I think that's why they're in it for – that's why they're instructors, right? They want to be – they want to improve themselves. They want to be able to give a better lesson. They want to be able to – make an easier turn, be more efficient in their own skiing. And that's exciting. That's really adventurous. And I hope that they're able to take the energy that they have and deliver it to their guests.
Now, every time you and I talk, your passion for what you do really comes through. And that's a good thing to see from the CEO of PSIA AASI.
Yeah. No, well, it's fun. You got to love what you do, right? And I feel really lucky. I mean, one of my, my whole goal when I got out of college was to explore through, I've been really fortunate to explore through the snow sports industry. I've worked for three really exciting resorts, and I feel really lucky for that experience. And I just, it's fun to interact with members. It's fun to interact with our volunteer leadership across the country, because that's what my focus is right now. And it's exciting to understand what each region needs to be successful and how we're going to approach it as a collective whole. It's exciting, you know?
Now to wrap up, what are some things that you at PSIA National are doing to make this happen this year?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is coming off the spring. It's kind of nice to have a little break in July, to be quite honest. We had a busy spring, you know, we had a board meeting, and it's not about what National is doing. It's about what are we doing as a team? And that's something I'm always looking at. We came out of our board meeting, and just before our board meeting, we had a meeting of all the executive directors, the administrative leadership, just before the board meeting. And we had everyone come out to Lakewood, and we really challenged ourselves to say, okay, administratively, how can we enhance the member experience as a group? How, you know, we looked at reinstatement policies, we looked at transfer policies. We were really looking at things to create a more seamless experience for our members. And then the following week, just after the board meeting, we had the Education Leadership Council get together. And their charge is really focusing on those three C's that I talk about in that email blast that talks about the vision. But they're talking about, okay, we have these national standards, and we know we all meet those national standards. But how can we start to evaluate and challenge ourselves to make the process more similar for our members and to really make sure the teaching objectives are in line with each other across the country, so that if someone goes, it's as seamless as possible. If you take your level one on the East Coast and then boom, you flow straight into your level two on the West Coast, it's as seamless as possible for that member. And they have a good understanding of that. And then, you know, moving into next fall, we have another, the President's Council is meeting. And, you know, I point those three meetings out because I really see, you know, there's three arms that make up our leadership. And we have our educational arm, we have our executive administrative arm, and then we have, of course, our volunteer leaders, our boards. And the greatest success that I've seen over this last year is everyone's committed to getting together, to meeting, and making sure we tackle the conversations we need to tackle to make us better for our membership. And I would say that's the greatest success coming out of the, out of this last year. So,
Nick, it's always a pleasure visiting with you. Anything you want to add?
No, it's fun. I was just looking at my notes, and it was Doug Pfeiffer that they got in that argument, you know, and about direct to parallel. But I love those history stories. They're great.
From the PSA AASI studios here in Lakewood, Colorado, you've been listening to First Chair.